listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life service for Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, glad to be here, as always.
And we welcome all of those joining us live for this broadcast, as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate you being here. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an Association of Anomalous Researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, our flagship school that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, life coaching, healing, and several other areas, and Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org, which offers standalone courses in metaphysics as well as degrees. As we get into our program tonight, the last few weeks I've been going over the individual principles of belief. Those principles of belief are available in full at our website, metaphysicalhumanism.org. And tonight, I want to elaborate on principle number 9, which reads, "We believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence." So the gist of this one is, the more we discover about the true nature of consciousness and existence, we believe will have a positive impact on the human species, on the human condition. Now let's talk about that just a little bit, and that includes peaceful coexistence. So, what if? What would humanity's reaction be if science discovered objective proof that human consciousness survives death of the physical body? In other words, we go on to something. What if we could prove that objectively? You know, what would that mean for the human condition, for humanity? Well, obviously the religions of the world would be vindicated, but the scientific community would have a lot of splaining to do because they have narrow-mindedly poo-pooed this subject for so many decades or even longer. How about a second scenario? What would humanity's reaction be if today it was reported on the news that extraterrestrial contact had been made with a species that's been studying the Earth, and, you know, our leaders of the world are planning international talks to assess their presence on our planet? You know, in this case, the reaction might be very different. Science would undoubtedly be elated because they've been kind of moving that direction for a while, but the religions of the world, especially fundamentalist Christians, might likely plunge into chaos to one degree or another, because most of them teach that humans are it as far as intelligent life goes in the universe. These kinds of hypotheses or earth-shaking discoveries would certainly precipitate a global paradigm shift for most of humanity. If you think about that, you know, life goes on. We can prove that we live beyond death, or we can prove that extraterrestrials exist. You know, some people would take it in stride, others might freak out. You know, there would be various reactions to that. We'd see changes in religious dogma, with many leaving the church because they feel it's outdated, which of course it is, or it's my opinion. However, not everybody would leave religion. They would just merely adjust to the new reality. In fact, it's interesting, a few years ago the Catholic Church came out and positioned themselves by saying that they don't see a contradiction with extraterrestrial life in the Bible. Now this is doing damage control before it even happens. I mean, they saw the writing on the wall because that's where it's all moving. You know, to see those realities, especially with extraterrestrials. And it was a brilliant move, you know. And so when that day comes, I suppose the Catholics are going to be the least affected among the religious groups because their hierarchy is already positioning their followers for that. You know, and even if these types of announcements came, like, especially with extraterrestrials, you know, it caused some disruption for a few weeks, but, you know, things would go back to normal. You know, we'd go on, we'd move on. And yet humanity would be forever changed in a positive way if those were to come to light. So you can see how we expand our consciousness, we expand our understanding of the human race, of the human condition, of the human position in the universe, in reality, and it can have a positive effect. Now, what about the other side of this? Let's suppose for a moment that we objectively discover, we can prove objectively that we do not live beyond death, that the soul does not go on, that we don't go on. I mean, when you're dead, you're dead. That's it. State of non-existence. What if we could objectively prove that? If you think about that for a minute, where would that put religion? Well, it would throw them into chaos, obviously. They would probably deny it. You know, what if we could prove that there are no extraterrestrials, no extraterrestrial life anywhere? We're it in this universe. What if we could objectively prove that? What kind of an impact would that have on humanity? Well, you know, we could conjecture. Perhaps it might tell us, hey, we're it, and we need to treat each other a little better and not kill each other, you know, not be all about this tribal warfare that we've got going on this planet. So if you look at these hypothetical scenarios, either way, it expands our knowledge of who we are. And they're not the only two. I mean, these are just two. There's other ways of growing our consciousness, expanding our knowledge. And as we do, as we become more educated, and we talked about this last week, as we become more educated, we tend to treat each other better. We tend to have better lives. And that's the point of this belief number nine. We believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on the human on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And I'll tell you, folks, if we could just glimpse the true reality of everything that's out there, I think all of us would be beyond amazed at what the true nature of reality is. I mean, you know, you can go and learn all kinds of natures of reality from different groups. Christians have one view of reality. Other religions have another view of reality. But the true reality, I think, goes way, way beyond what anybody can fathom. You get into quantum physics, you get into string theory, you get into the multiple worlds theory, multiple universes, and it just keeps going up and up and on and on, and there's just one layer after another. Where'd it come from? Have no clue. But we will not give up as a human race. We're explorers. We are discoverers. We will not give up searching for answers. And that's part of the beauty of the human condition.
You know, it's amazing how small the Earth is in our galaxy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our galaxy is but one of many. And, you know, scientists now have measures of planets and space and how far things are and how big. And, you know, it's really, actually, it's overwhelming, to be honest. And that's when I kind of say, oh, this is just way too big for me. You know, but it is about people's beliefs, and people will always investigate, you know, what they believe, unfortunately, as opposed to investigate what they don't believe. That's the unfortunate side, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you know, another aspect of this, and I mentioned this last week that I was going to talk about this briefly tonight, and that's all I got. I don't have enough information to go on and on about it. But it's, you know, the question of why we sleep. Last week, I think it was last Wednesday during the day, I'm thinking, you know, why do we sleep anyway? I mean, I've asked that question before, looked it up, forgot the answer. looked it up again, you know, and forgot the answer, and so looked it up tonight. Yeah, I have a long-term memory here. So, you know,
need some sleep.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Need some sleep, you know. Of course, I get my full 8 hours of sleep every night. Anybody believe that? I wouldn't. No. That was a total lie right there.
You might get 8 hours over 2 days sporadically spaced at 1 hour.
Maybe three. Yeah. So why do we sleep? You know, and as far as we know, for the most part, and for all intents and purposes, every mammal sleeps, you know, like we do. There might be an exception or two. I didn't get deep enough into it. But there are other animals that may or may not sleep by our definition, including reptiles and those types of creatures, fish and things like that. In fact, I saw one article that talked about how dolphins and whales, you know, basically sleep with one brain shut down, you know, and the other one still open. So, but why do we sleep? You know, well, in the latest research, in a nutshell, a couple of reasons in particular, it's thought that it allows the brain to chemically cleanse itself because, you know, there's the waste chemicals that are produced in the brain through the day. And so at night, it goes through the process and flushes all those bad cells and whatnot out. That's one reason. Another one, which we probably most know, is it allows our brain to sort of defrag, if you will. It, you know, allows us to firm up memories, process memories through the day. You know, there are other reasons. I think when you sleep and you dream, it allows you to get in touch with your higher self in many ways and explore things. I mean, how many stories have we heard about geniuses or other people who have come up with an idea in a dream? They've been working on a problem and they finally got the answer in a dream. So there's several reasons why, but it's a fascinating study. And the fact is that we don't know for sure why we sleep. I mean, we spend, well, if you just get out 8 hours of sleep a day, you spend a third of your life sleeping. And if you don't sleep, well, we all know what happens then. You get irritable, you get grumpy, you lose your ability to reason, and so on and so forth.
But say it isn't true.
Yeah. But here's the thing, you know, we're just talking about expanding our consciousness, understanding the true nature of consciousness and reality. Well, I suspect, and I don't think this is a real reach here, but sleeping is directly tied to our consciousness in some way. I don't know how. But it makes sense because if we have to shut down for a while, let things process, then that makes perfect sense. Especially in, you know, if we're talking dual nature, where we have physical aspect and a spiritual aspect. So that's the kind of stuff that we want to explore. It's interesting stuff, dreaming, lucid dreaming, all that kind of stuff. It's all interesting, and it gives us glimpses a little bit into who we are as a species, who what all life is, you know. And if animals sleep too, which they do, you know, like our cats sleep, what, 18 hours a day? They must really do a lot of thinking in those waking hours. But, you know, that tells us something about the consciousness of animals too, which is another fascinating study. So that's all I wanted to mention on that. I don't have a lot more to offer at this point, but I'll keep working on it and see what else comes up. And, you know, this is a good – I'm just going to finish real quick and say this is a good opportunity to say to our listeners, if you have a topic you'd like to discuss, email it to me, admin@icmhchurch.org. And if you're a student, you can just send it to any of the email addresses for the schools or anything. I'll get it. But if you have a topic that you want to discuss, do it. And if you have a good pay it forward story, you know, send it to us. We won't, you know, announce your name and address and telephone number on the broadcast. We'll just mention your first name if you want or don't want, but we'd like to relate it because it gives people ideas on how they can do. So go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
Well, I was going to say, I go with the download theory myself. Sleep is good for download.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get a lot of information. You just talk about people getting ideas. I say that maybe we're getting downloaded with other stuff from other worlds, maybe.
No. One that knows, but he's not real.
Spirits talking to us, aliens talking to us. There's all kinds of stuff that happens in our sleep, I think.
But,
you know, the other – I'll just share this little story. I was attempting – I went back to bed the other day, morning, just to get another hour. And in my mind's eye, I saw this lady walking across the street. And I thought, well, that's kind of crazy. Like, and it was like a spirit or somebody. And just babbling this little conversation. But I had this intuition to go to my neighbor's Facebook page. And lo and behold, her mother had just died. And it, from my point of view, that looked like her mother. I've seen pictures of her. So here's this, you know, that's, and so I think that I tuned into that in that moment. Then not that everybody can do that, of course, but, you know, it just came in my sleep, you know, came in the dream state. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Good thought. All right. So let's, we pulled a card.
We did.
We're going to talk
number
about
24. It goes right in line with what we're talking about. Spirituality suit number 24 is truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there's a truth in something or in a direction. So that's a profound message in light of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Seeking the truth.
That's what we do, you know. That's one of the things that sets us apart. Is that we're not just willing to believe in any given thing without some kind of reasonable support for it. And so all these principles of belief that we've been going over the last few weeks, they're all based in, they are reasonably defensible. And, you know, we can't objectively prove much, but we can reasonably, rationally provide a defense for them. And that's what we encourage all of our listeners and members to do. You know, you believe something, fine. Just make sure you can back it up to a reasonable degree with good reason. And that way you're seeking truth.
Well, you know, for just to remind everybody, I'm pulling from our Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards. And just in keeping, I'm always curious what the next card might be if we're having a conversation. And lo and behold, I pulled one and it's number 9, Empowerment. So,
oh,
you know, truth and empowerment. So I'll just read this. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution. In principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. You know, when you just finished saying it yourself, Dr. Kelly, about, you know, knowing who you are and educate yourself and explore, and we're truth seekers. And when you come from, like, deep within and you're curious, and you're not only curious about the things outside yourself, I would say be curious about what's inside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do I think that? How did I come up with that? And my favorite adage is, no one and nothing should be more important or curious or interesting to you than yourself. I'm the most interesting human being I know, because I'm the only one living in here. So, you know,
as far as we know.
Yeah, well, that's true. So it's, give yourself permission. This is just my little two bits worth. Give yourself permission to be interesting to yourself. Be really interested. Once you're interested and you start to discover things that you like and some things maybe you don't like. And what you don't like, you work with it and you work on changing it to a place that you do like, or at least something that's livable. You know, we all have our own little glitches or, you know, idiosyncrasies or eccentricities or
almost
little things.
I don't have any of those, but
I don't either.
Others do.
But, well, in my self-discovery, I found that I don't have any of those things. But, you know, I mean, be okay with liking it. Like, yeah. Some of those things, you can keep them. And maybe it's not common in your environment to have certain little behaviors, but maybe you actually like that. You know, be expressive, be who you are, or, you know, it's just all those little things. That's empowerment to me, is being really comfortable with yourself and continually interested in who you are. Because once you stop being interested in yourself, you do lose that little bit of empowerment. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Just giving yourself permission to be you is a big part of taking your power back. And I we've talked about this on the program, but it's always worth re-mentioning. That little nugget, taking your power back, oh, it can sound good. Oh, yeah, got to take our power back, blah, blah, blah. But when you really start to unwrap it and unfold it, it becomes hugely powerful. It, in my opinion, is like the panacea for about the cure for about anything that ails you. And I'm not kidding here, because so much of the strife, the anxiety, the adversity, and all that stuff we go through is a result of us relinquishing our power to someone or something else. And taking your power back, when you do that, that's a huge leap to being complete within yourself, not needing, quote unquote, anyone or anything else to complete you. So taking your power back, wow, that means you don't let people cross your boundaries. It means you don't let other people determine your path. It means that you don't have them esteem, meaning that you only feel good about yourself when you're doing what other people think you should be doing. When you take your power back, it just about cures anything and everything. And in terms of you, in terms of the person. And when you take your power back, and even for toxic relationships, you know, when you're in a toxic relationship, you're relinquishing your power, period. You take your power back and you won't stand for that stuff anymore. So if the toxic relationship continues, you won't be in it. They'll be in it by themselves, or they will change as a result. So, I mean, I've seen this work with hauntings, even abduction scenarios. And it's my position that so much of that can be avoided just when you know who you are and why you are who you are, when you've taken your power back. You know, people talk about being harassed by spirits. Well, you know, okay. And when you take your power back and you let them know this is not going to happen anymore, it stops. And I know it works. It works for anybody who takes their power back. I mean, I can't get them to show up here, at least to my knowledge. You know, I've invited everybody to show up. They won't come. But, you know, so I don't get any harassment. I don't get any stuff moving around or strange noises. And I keep telling them, you know, hey, come on down. I'd like to turn on my recorder and, you know, and have a chat. But that's another story.
I tell you, I invite them in for tea.
Yeah.
The bad ones don't want to come. That's good.
Hey, and if anybody wants a card poll, just let us know in the chat room and we'll do that for you.
You just read my mind. I was just going to say that to everybody. I will go ahead and select one more card, but please write your name down and in the chat room and we'll certainly find a little message for you. Okay. Perfection.
Yeah.
You know, I love these cards. I love these cards as much as I love my tarot. They're,
you know, and awesome. It's an interesting thing too. You know, it's like week after week we tend to pull some similar ones, and that's an interesting thing in and of itself. I mean, there's what, 54 cards in this deck, and there's a bunch more we could pull, but it's like they flow, so we won't spend a lot of time on it because we've talked about it in recent weeks, but perfection can be so difficult. I'll let you read the comment.
Just pull a couple of lines out of here. Always remember that you are perfect just the way you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and always growing. And that is perfection, when you know that you're a perfect work in progress. So That's the essence of that and what we're talking about. We had truth, empowerment, and perfection, one right after the other. I see Dr. Norman Wilson's with us, and he'd like a card. Hi, Dr. Norm. And then some. It's in the number two in the wild card. So however you might relate to this, when you've reached your limits and believe you've done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than's needed and go beyond what's required to make a positive difference. You can do it. And by doing so, you know that you're leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. And I think that sometimes we have to take just little bits of what these, you know, indicators are here, is that sometimes we're, I think in my interpretation of this, is even if we're having a tired day and you pull that kind of a message, is okay, you're having a bit of a tired day, well, reach deep, you know, reach deep and you can do it. Okay. So, I mean, it might be a situation, it might be isolated to one individual or an event, and it's that and then some. Give it that extra and then some, because we pull it out of ourselves to do that. So I hope that you can relate to that in some way, Dr. Norm.
And just a general comment to everyone on that, on this card. I mean, if you just do that, man, your success will go way up, especially if you're at work.
Yeah.
You know, when you're working through it and then some. And that's part of the ownership attitude, too.
It sure is, yeah. I see Errol is next. Am I right?
Yep.
Errol. All right, Errol. Unknowable. Well, it's just about right next door here.
I don't know what to say about that one.
Funny. The wild card, number four, unknowable. So, Errol, this is for you. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change. So that's for you, Earl. Things are changing. It's kind of a mystery in there. Doesn't that feel like a mystery?
So. Well, you know, and this is a good card for problem solving, too, because when we have a problem, we may not know how to solve it. And we consider that when we get gain information, do research, look at it from different perspectives, use the 180 principle or think contrarian. In other words, what should I not do to solve this? And those kinds of creative problem solving exercises, you know, then we can often find a solution and then the unknowable becomes knowable. And when we can't find a solution, that's a perfect red flag that the solution lies outside of your belief system. That means you need to expand your awareness, expand your belief systems, get more data. And that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, I always tend to think, okay, what's the worst case scenario here? When I face the worst fear and the worst thing, anything else is cool.
Yeah.
I'm happy with anything else that happens between here and the worst. So, and then, you know, I don't think I'm being cynical when I do that. I think that's also a life skill, a strategy.
Well, it's, you know, that's part of the process. You have what's the worst case scenario, and then you accept that and improve on it. That's, what was his name? William Carrier's from Carrier Air Conditioning fame. It's his approach.
Well, I don't know who did it. I've been doing it since I was really young, just by, I think, skill. So I'm glad I'm not the only one, I guess is what I'm saying. So we have Francis next, I believe. Hi, Francis. I have, wow. The energy at hand is outside the norm. And that's number nine. That's the very last. That's the blank card.
That's the blank one, yeah.
This, I think we have drawn this card once before. It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Not for a long time, though.
So just to be very clear about this. This is wild card number 9. It's blank. There is purposely no face value on this card. And what does the comment in the book say?
Well, gee, Francis, this is pretty big. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you're seeking. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within. You know, that's I have had those moments where there just doesn't seem to be a thought. It doesn't seem to be an answer. It doesn't say, oh, gee, you know. But this really is about self-creation and life creation. From at this particular moment, I think of it in a way as you're writing your script. And what would you like that script to be? So dig really deep and resonate, you know, those inner vibrations to more in line of who you are and what you're seeking, so that it comes from way deep down inside and manifestation.
So, and I might just add that this is a great opportunity to set aside some quiet time. Just, you know, it could be half an hour or less, but just get quiet. Because sometimes those things you need to know are just below the surface. You're almost aware of them on some conscious level, but they're not rising to the surface where you're actively consciously aware of them, but they're right there just under the surface. And it doesn't happen all the time, but that could be. So if you quiet your mind, let the room settle, let the energy settle, and just listen, you know, you might discover something.
Yeah, that's big. That's big. Okay, Zach, I see you in there. And Zach gives instructions. See, usually Zach wants the third card from the left, and he's been very clear. He wants the third from the right this time. Well, I did just that, and trust me here today, I follow instructions pretty well. Spirituality card, a suit number 19, invoke the counselor within. Okay, Zach, here's for you. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that's right for you. So, that's so true. I'm stumbling a little bit because I have to remind myself of this one too. You know, it's like something happens. Okay, geez, I need a little bit of advice, or who can I? You know, usually it's Dr. Kelly. But it's true. You know, the answers are way deep inside, and that's the best counselor, because inevitably we have to do what's right for us. Right, we make those decisions. Nothing is worse than taking advice from somebody else and it doesn't pan out. So that sucks. So that's for you, Jack. And I hope that resonates with you. So anybody else that I've overlooked?
Tabitha.
Oh, hi, Tabitha. I don't see an instruction of which card, so I'm just going in. Communication. Number 41 in the life skills suit. Let me just get it here. Communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship. And this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication is one of the two most important relationship traits. It's communication and trust, of course, we're talking about there. So
that's good.
That's that's another good message, I think, a good card.
So let's shuffle the deck and pull one for everyone at large.
Well, I'm just going to put all these cards back in together then. And this just takes 1 second, a quick shuffle. I'm sure everybody can hear that. And I'm fanning them. And right around the middle, relationships.
Interesting.
Yes, it is. And relationships comes right before that communication card that I just read. Life skills number 40 reads, healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another. So, you know, you've said it before. We're in the relationship business. You know, that's what we do. You know, we're mm-hmm. relating with each other all the time. And it's interdependent means that we understand and we're conscious of, you know, how we support one another. Just so people are clear about that, it's win-win. And in a relationship, one is a good cook and one isn't. So somebody's going to do the cooking. Somebody else is really good at this. And that's not being dependent or codependent. That's being interdependent. It's when two parts, you know, come together and they support each other. And even in friendships, people don't have to be exactly the same. They each bring something to the table and support one another. So interdependent means that, you know, we're relating. So, but once, if ever you come across a time where it is subtracting, like you're losing energy in that, it's time to assess. Do a little reevaluation, analyze it and say, gee, is this suiting me right now? And, you know, very often we do outgrow friends, by the way. I'd like to just throw that in. Yeah. If when you're on a journey and you are taking ownership and you are, you know, really kind of growing yourself, and the first tendency actually is want to take everybody with you. You know, it's to want everybody to grow at the same time in the same way so that you don't lose your friends. But that's not the way it works. Everybody has that free will to, you know, carry on with their life. What I remind people of, and I hope this resonates with a few people to get this, is that if people were really interested, they would be doing the work. In other words, we can't bring a whole bunch of really cool stuff to folks and expect that they're going to be all over it. You might make a statement about what you're interested in, what you're learning. But if somebody doesn't reciprocate, you know, in communicating, then you have to just step back because everyone has to be interested. And I can't tell you how many relationships I have worked with where – let's say the wife wants to now spiritually enlighten her husband, but he has no interest. So, you know, it's like, okay, so she has some decisions to make, you know, and of course every relationship is unique in its own ways, but you can't make somebody grow is what I'm trying to say. So,
I'd like to add a couple of things to this too. Kind of an interesting subject that we don't normally talk about with relationships. If you think about this, and this is not necessarily mine. This is something I read somewhere at some point in the last 40 years. But that's the concept that we have people come in and out of our lives for a reason. And it's more has to do with our path, our journey. It's more on an unconscious level or a consciousness level where people come in and out of our lives because we both need something from each other. Does this explain every relationship you have? No, it doesn't necessarily. But if you think about it for a minute, I mean, we've all had friends way in the past. Maybe we're still friends with them. maybe we're not. We probably had a lot of friends, a lot of people that had come to our life. They were important part of our life at one point, but they faded away. We've moved on. They've moved on. You know, did nothing wrong. It just, we went different directions. Well, you know, at one point we needed something from them, and that, and them us is the concept. And if you think about that, it seems to make sense with some relationships. It just does. And there was another point I had in mind too that I'll work around to it if it'll come back. But the idea, oh, I know what it was. In fact, this is a true experience, and I'm saying this for the benefit of someone who I know is listening. But it's a great example and of how this might work. Maybe we've been friends with someone for decades, for all our life, been close friends. And, you know, and everything's cool. And then one day they tell us they're, you know, going to become a Jehovah's Witness, or they are becoming a Jehovah's Witness, or some other type of religion that mm-hmm. is dubious. And what I'm going to say right now, that that's probably going to put a big kibosh on the relationship as it once was, because the dynamics have changed, and it's not due to you. It's due to them and their belief system, which is changing. And so I don't want there to be any guilt, any undue regret, because you didn't do anything. And if the relationship changes, it's not because you changed it, it's because they did. Now, this obviously applies to a lot of things. Even married couples, they can, what we normally call, grow apart, right? If you're not growing together, you're growing apart. Well, if one side of the relationship is involved in personal growth and in evolution, but the other is not, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to grow apart. It's just the way it works. I didn't design it. I didn't invent it. But that's just the way of the world. Another aspect of this might be you're in an alcoholic relationship. And, you know, I've been criticized before because I'm pretty adamant, you know, alcoholic relationships don't work. And even if the person, the alcoholic, recovers, which they don't often do, but even if they do, and well, let me step back. If they stop drinking, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean recovery. Stopping drinking is not recovery. It means they stop drinking. That's all it means. But that emotional arrest that they had at whenever they got into heavy drinking is still there. Whatever behaviors and immaturities and all that sort of thing are still there. And let's suppose for a moment that the alcoholic does recover. They stop drinking, they go to therapy, they go to counseling, they start working on themselves, and they get healthy. That doesn't automatically mean that you're going to still be compatible with them, because they're a different person now than even when you met them. You know, so with energy signatures, you know, the vibe that we all put off, energy signatures, they have to be harmonically compatible for us to even be in a relationship with anyone. They have to mesh. They have to match. And if somebody's energy signature is one way and another person's a different way, and they're not harmonically compatible, you're not going to be in a relationship with them. You're not going to hit it off. And so we have to understand that as we grow in these relationships, we need to try to grow together, especially if you're in a good marriage. You know, you got to try to grow together to keep that going. And if you do that, then they're fine. But if not, you know, you grow apart, and that's just life. So
I'd just like to throw in that I think we can have different belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And we can agree to disagree, but we can agree to get along. And
yeah,
the energy signature is in, I believe, our kindness and our respect. And, you know, the Life Leadership Paragon, it's just a great formula to follow because it covers all the bases. But, you know, if just keeping it really simple, it's to be kind and respectful. And if we have that, then we can weed out the other stuff and make decisions accordingly. But we can agree to disagree. That's just fine.
And I wanted to also point out that the comment I made regarding Jehovah's Witnesses is because I know that I was one. I was an elder. I was for 40 years of my life. I know how it works. And it's unfortunate that their belief system kills relationships, but it does. And if you leave it, your relationships are dead. They're no longer because they don't accept it. So I want to reiterate to this person, if the relationship changes, not that it absolutely will, but if it does, it's not your, not you. It's them, not your stuff. It's her stuff.
Not my monkeys.
Yeah, whatever that means.
You know, I want to say we've had a great conversation in the chat room following, and I appreciate people injecting humor. And you know, when life gets a little bit tough, I often say humor's all you got left, and turn it around a little bit and enjoy yourselves too. So we do tend to, and that's our jobs, is we deal with, you know, really serious matters and issues and life skills, and it can be really hard work at times. But we also have to have the lighter side. And as Dr. Kelly would often say, you know, don't take yourself too seriously or so seriously. So it's very much appreciated, everybody being here and joining in every week, and our regulars and newcomers. It's always very exciting. And thanks for having this great conversation going on and participating with each other. So I would also encourage you to go on One Planet Community and get some conversations going there too. That's the reason for a social network, and knowing that we're not alone. We're all in this together, you know, and we're kinfolk, I say.
Yes, we are. So, folks, thanks so much for your time tonight. Appreciate you joining us. Let others know about this too. Appreciate those listening to the archives every week as well. Thanks to Michael Kelly for producing behind the scenes, and thanks to Dr. Hunter for being here as always. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.